Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you this morning. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. We've been talking about this one for over a week now. I'm so excited. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, partner with Holacracy One, Mr. Brian Robertson. How are you, man?
Hello. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, Brian, before we get too far into things, do you mind just kind of explaining the term Holacracy? What does it mean and how does it work?
Yeah, totally. It's a new way of running a business. It's a framework for self-management. In other words, the way I like to say it is management without managers. It's a replacement for the top-down management hierarchy. And of the thousand-some companies all over the world today that are using Holacracy, they don't have a management hierarchy or any type of traditional structure that we're used to. It's a completely different approach and a replacement for that.
So when you're replacing kind of this, command and control, where there's somebody in an ivory tower that's the smart person and they're disseminating their wisdom to the group, and you're shifting to this kind of self-management model, how does kind of the culture and the mission and the why kind of get disseminated through everybody and created in a way that everybody feels invested and everybody wants to win?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the really important thing here is you can't just throw out managers. You have to replace them with something. And so one of the big misconceptions that people get when they hear, you know, a company with no managers is that there's no structure. And that's actually almost the opposite of the truth. Companies running with Holacracy today have more structure, not less, than we see in a management hierarchy. They just get to the structure differently. And it's Holacracy is first and foremost a purpose-driven system. So the structure that is created not by a hierarchy of managers, you know, theoretically breaking it down and telling others what's expected of them and all that. It's created by each team, and each team has a clear purpose, which is part of the overall company's purpose. And then the team works together through a process that Holacracy adds to figure out how do we break down the work of expressing this purpose on our team. So, you know, who's doing what, who makes which decisions, what do we expect of each other. You end up with clarity and all that. It's you know, actually more clarity, more structure, again, than a management hierarchy. But it's first and foremost a purpose-driven company, so a purpose-driven structure. It's all for the sake of what are we learning together about how to best express the purpose of this team. So compared to a management hierarchy, it's mostly the mission-driven, purpose-driven businesses that have been adopting it, specifically because they're looking for a structure to align everything with their purpose.
Now, does it work best in organizations that already have kind of this management framework, or can it work in a brand new organization where it starts with one person and they're looking to grow, you know, beyond that, and so they're starting from scratch?
It's definitely easier to adopt when you're smaller. The largest companies that have adopted it across the entire enterprise are about 1,600 employees. Larger than that, there's only departments and things like that doing it in larger companies. But those ones have a horrifically difficult adoption journey. It's much easier to adopt when you're, you know, 150 people than 1,500. And it's even easier at 15 people. At the low end, we've seen plenty of three-person businesses adopt Holacracy so that they can scale with it, which makes a lot of sense. I don't know that it makes sense a sole person. I've certainly had people that are running solo businesses get really excited about it and attend one of our trainings or something, but at that stage, there's just not much to adopt. Holacracy is a framework for how we work together with others. So it's really once you hit about three people that it becomes really relevant, and it's definitely easier to scale with it. And we've seen startups right from day one start with it, with a few founders.
So now walk me through how that would work. If, like in our business, Business Radio X, we're trying to be as flat as possible and give everybody as much autonomy and have it self-managed as possible. So we have kind of this mission of telling positive business stories around the country. We call them studio partners in different parts of the country, and they have autonomy to run their Business Radio X in the way that they see fit. And they have their own organization, their own kind of team individually, and it's their own business. But they're using kind of our platform and our kind of methodology and our why to help them be successful in their market. So is our organization in the neighborhood of Holacracy, or like what kind of structure would we need to be more? Is it holocratic? Like how do we do it more and better?
Yeah, so it sounds like what you're describing is the kind of culture that's going to be well aligned with Holacracy. But Holacracy is a specific set of practices. So it starts with the CEO or founders, whoever has power in the business today. Holacracy has a documented written constitution. So it's basically a set of rules of the game. Think of it like a sport that has a rule book, or a board game that has a rule book or whatever. And the first move when you want to adopt it is for the CEO or whoever holds power, they literally sign a declaration adopting this constitution. And the constitution is an open source document. So it's the same one used by all these companies all over the world doing this. But what it does is shift power from a CEO at the top of the management hierarchy. So in that sense, Holacracy is not even flat. There is simply no hierarchy. Power is divided out differently. And instead of it resting in a CEO, even that might have a very flat structure, Holacracy rests power in a governance process. So there's a defined process that's written out in this constitution. It defines how governance works. And governance is a process that we use to break out what are the roles involved in the team, and what authority does each role have? What accountabilities does each role have? So it's, you know, roughly once a month that every team will engage in governance. And this is every team, not just once at the top. Every team is self-governing. So it's creating its own roles, its own policies, its own structure for that team. And it's doing it through this governance process written up and defined in this constitution. And in that governance meeting, anyone on the team can propose a change to the team structure. They can propose creating new roles or adding expectations on roles. They can propose creating policies for that team, merging roles, anything they need to do to restructure that team. Right? And then the fundamental stance of Holacracy, I love that you talked about empowerment and you know, giving people a lot of autonomy. The fundamental stance is when you have a role that's created in the governance process by your team, and then you get this role, you have the authority to make any decision in the company or take any action in the company to get your job done, unless there's an explicit rule against it created also by that governance process. So this is kind of the opposite of the way most companies work today. In most companies, the culture says you need permission to do something outside of what you normally do before you act. And you get permission either by getting the boss on board, or more likely by calling a big meeting, which takes forever, and you socialize it and you make sure everyone's bought in to the decision you want to make. And then I often tell people, if you don't trust me, you can do an experiment. In your company, you can go make a big, bold, autocratic decision and then tell everyone after the fact what you did. Don't talk to anyone up front and see how many people you piss off. If people are pissed off, it's a sure sign that your culture says you need permission before you act. And what Holacracy does is turn that on its head and say, no, if other people want you to slow down, the burden's on them, not you, to get some basic rules in place of where they want you to slow down and why. When do you need to talk to them and why? Right? So until those rules are clearly documented by the team, you have the authority to do anything to get your job done. Right, and we have a process to learn from. So it's not just go do anything anytime. There's a governance process. We start with lots of freedom. And we learn together, where are the boundaries? Where are the rules we do need to honor? Because there are some. You know, and if you don't know the boundaries, you don't know your freedom. You know, if you don't know what you can't do, you don't know what you can do. So what Holacracy's focus is on clarifying the minimally sufficient boundaries and rules to limit us so that within them we can give people complete autonomy and freedom. And instead of bosses doing this, which frankly, managers are usually not that good at this, and when they are good at this, they get promoted and replaced by somebody else who's not that good at this, right? It's really hard to get people good at this in a management hierarchy. Holacracy gives you guide rails. It gives you a process for it. It says, here's a governance process. There's a documented process for it. There's rules of the game for it. And it just gives you a much easier way to empower people and clarify what the boundaries really need to be.
Now, how does the money flow? how do people get paid, and how is a person's income and their the way that, how does the money work in this?
Yes, yeah, so one of the interesting things about Holacracy to me is it actually doesn't try to answer that question. Or same with how do we fire people, which is a big question, or how do we budget? What Holacracy does instead, let me turn the question around. You know, have you ever felt some tension about the way your organization pays people or fires people or budgets or whatever? Or your listeners, have you ever felt any tension about that in the company? And if so, is it really easy to drive change to that process? Or is it kind of static and kind of stuck? Is it a monumental effort to drive change to those kind of core processes? The goal of Holacracy is not to give you the one right way to pay people or fire people or anything else. The goal of Holacracy is to make it easy to learn and adapt your own processes and your own solutions. So the goal of Holacracy is to make sure however you pay people today, as soon as anyone feels any tension about it, you have a process you can go to propose a change to that system, and it's easy to get change enacted so you can let the process evolve. Now, that said, you're also going to have to get creative because you have no managers to just say, well, we'll have the boss do it, right? Which is, frankly, a cop-out answer. Even in the management hierarchy, it's a terrible way to pay people. We can do better than that, and that's why companies evolve a more sophisticated system of compensation. And there are examples. So I can give you an example. My company has a kind of innovative way of paying people, but it's not Holacracy doesn't tell us you have to do it this way. This is just the approach we've evolved over time by continually learning and iterating on our own process. And, for us, pay is driven by the person who wants the raise. So if you want a raise and you work in my company, you don't have a boss to go to and ask for a raise. It's on you, but there's a process for it. You have to first write up what are your strengths and your weaknesses, the limits to you adding value. You have to get a number of your colleagues to sign off on that and publicly attest that that is a complete picture, an accurate picture of you. And then everyone's write-ups are published inside the company along with their pay. So you then get to go to that library and start triangulating and saying, I think I'm adding more value than, this person, but less than that person. So I should be paid somewhere in the middle. And you have to write up your case. And then you present that to a group of six people who fill a role called Compensation Guardian, and their job is to keep the whole system fair. And they're evaluating that write-up for relative fairness to make sure it's accurate and real. And they can invite anyone that they know works with you into that review process. And the question that group has to answer is, if you didn't work here, and that was the level of pay you required in order to take the job, would they advocate for hiring you at that level of pay? And you need to get more people saying yes than no, basically. So that's our process. And one of the things I love about it is compensation's driven by the person who wants the raise, and the burden's on them to prove it. Prove it's fair, prove it's deserved. And we've seen that process shoot people down time and time again when it's just not fair and the people they're comparing themselves to are adding more value. And I've also seen somebody who was in the company for less than 6 months. He had come in right out of college. He got about double his pay through that process after being in the company for less than 6 months because it was fair. He was a rock star. He was adding so much value. And frankly, he probably could have quit and gotten it elsewhere, and he might have, So it's a really interesting process, but we didn't get there because Holacracy said, here's the best way to pay people. We got there because we experimented, we iterated, and we found the right process for us. And that's ultimately the goal of Holacracy. It's not to tell you the one-size-fits-all right answer to anything in your business. It's to make the business more agile and make it easier to iterate and experiment.
So then, all the income is kind of transparent to the entire organization, and the participants are kind of sorting through the income and deciding who gets what and how much of that?
Yeah, everything's transparent in my company. Most companies running with Holacracy today start with transparency. That's just a basic of how can you expect people to self-manage and to take on the level of leadership the system asks if they don't have access to basic information about how the business runs. So generally, most of the financials and even compensation is typically public in most companies doing this.
Now, when you're talking about compensation, how are you kind of separating, or are you separating like kind of equity in the organization as opposed to just sharing of the revenue of the organization?
Yeah, equity is different. So when I talk about compensation, I mean more classically just, you know, how much are you going to get paid per month for the work you do, right? Salary or whatever. Equity is different. Again, Holacracy doesn't tell you how to do that. We have businesses that are run in, you know, very traditional equity structures with outside investors and all that. That's fine. We have businesses that are more of like a co-op model, almost employee owned, and that's fine. And we've seen everything in between. In my company, we do have external investors, outside shareholders, but we also invite all of our own people to buy in to the equity. But it is a buy-in. We kind of like the idea of somebody's, you know, almost more like a law firm. There's a capital contribution. They're buying in to a share in the future, you know, growth of the business. So that's what we do. But again, you can do anything that makes sense for you and your business. Holacracy is really just a framework for figuring out how all that works.
So now what does a company do if they want to explore this? Do they have to hire Holacracy One in order to help them? Are there consultants that help them? Or they can just read about this and figure it out? What's kind of the best practice on implementing some of these tenets?
Yeah, the best practice is basically get as much support as your budget makes practical. So for some companies, it's literally just buy my book, read that, and good luck. Although the failure rate's really high when people don't have anything more than just they read the book. There's a lot of free online resources as well, videos. There's a community site that's full of coaches that do this, that just help out others for free online and forums. So that's kind of your base level. It's just really hard. A better bet is at least get somebody to a training. There are trainings all over the world in Holacracy now. And the ideal is get a coach. Just like any sport, you know, it's far easier to learn a new practice, which is really what Holacracy is, by getting out on the field and playing it with somebody who knows the game. But, you know, that's not always in the budget for some companies. So I'd say, you know, figure out what you can afford to spend. There is a network of Holacracy coaches, not just us, all over the world. We certify them, so we kind of do some quality control. So find a certified coach. If you can, if you can't, find a training. And if you can't do that, at least dive in online and get all the support you can for free.
So now, what's the backstory on this? How did this come about?
Yeah, so, you know, it came just from experimenting in my own business. I never set out to create something that would spread to other companies. It's kind of ironic that it has. I ran a software company. I started, almost 20 years ago. And I just wanted to, I felt like there's got to be a better way to run a business. You know, I had been part of larger companies and the bureaucracy, the politics, it felt like the system was designed to resist change. And for me, you know, I wanted to build an environment where anything sensed by anyone, anywhere in the company could drive meaningful change. And so I experimented and I turned my software company into a laboratory. And we just would go out there. We tried every method, technique, anything we could find. And then we started pioneering our own. And it was just experimenting on ourselves. And Holacracy grew out of that. It was never intended to be something broader than just my company's thing. Until I had friends that were CEOs and ran their companies, and they started getting really curious. And, you know, before I knew it, people started asking me to come help them. And eventually I left my software company and started my current business, which is supporting Holacracy in the world. And now it's spreading all over. But, you know, it didn't come from an academic place. It didn't come from a stereotypical management guru, thinker, author kind of person. I get called that sometimes, but I'm an entrepreneur. I just build businesses and I like to experiment with how I run them. This is what's grown out of now, you know, 20 years of experimentation.
Now, when you started this and you were struggling with the traditional way to manage, what was kind of the epiphany moment where you're like, you know what, maybe it doesn't have to be the old way. Maybe it can be this way. Was there some moment that happened that you knew that you were on the right track?
I tell you a story that kind of sent me on the quest or gave me the question, which actually was more powerful. The moment for me was not the answer. The answer's taken, it took a decade to evolve this answer of trial and error and experimentation. The moment was the question. And here's one of the kind of pivotal moments. I was flying an airplane. I'm a private pilot and I was learning to fly. I was still a student at this point. And I had my first cross-country solo flight. And that's where I have no instructor with me. I'm flying alone hundreds of miles away. And, you know, I only had 20 hours of flight time at this point. They actually let you get in an airplane alone with only 20 hours of experience. I'm quite surprised. So I'm up there. I'm flying the plane. And the low voltage light comes on my trip. And I don't know much about that. I don't know much about the hardware. They barely taught me how to fly the thing at this point. And so my instinct was check the other instruments on my control panel, my instruments. And so one at a time, I looked at all of them. And every other instrument said, there's nothing anomalous. Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. You know, my altimeter, I'm not losing altitude. I'm not losing airspeed. My navigation says I'm on course. Everything else says no problem. So I ended up letting those other instruments outvote the low voltage light. I figured this can't be that big of a problem. Only one instrument is reporting anything anomalous. It can't be that big of a deal. So I'm just going to ignore it and keep flying. And it turns out that was a really bad decision. I nearly crashed the plane that day. I ended up completely lost in a storm with no navigation, no electronics, no lights, no radio, almost out of gas, and violating international airspace. So it was a really bad situation, right? And when I got down, I thought about this more, and I realized this is what's happening in businesses, including in my own. I was a brand new entrepreneur at that point, and I realized it's us humans. We become the instruments, the sensors. When we're in a business, you know, we are what's sensing its reality for its flight towards its purpose. And it's often one lone person who senses something that no one else does, or a group, small group, or whatever. And we often see them outvoted. It's really hard to drive change in a company when just one person senses something that no one else does, right? And I think, I'm guessing almost anyone listening to this has probably had the experience of being the low voltage light in their company, right? Where you're tuned into something, and it's something that maybe not everyone else sees. And for me, that moment like gave me this question of how do I build an organization where even one lone person who's sensing something that's relevant to that purpose, right, that flight, can actually drive meaningful change rapidly and reliably without all the stuff getting in the way that I had experienced getting in the way of myself driving change in businesses before, right? The politics, bureaucracy, structure, the resistance to change, the fear, that so many things. And that's kind of what set me on the journey of I'm going to experiment. There were a few other defining moments like that, but that one it's something about nearly dying that sticks with you, you know?
Now, does Holacracy work in the organizations like in today's world where everybody's got a side hustle, they've got, kind of this independent contractor mentality where the gig economy where they're doing multiple things? As an individual, can they participate in Holacracy even though kind of their career is more chaotic and a free-for-all?
Yeah, absolutely. We have several companies which are filled either with some, in some cases, volunteers that aren't even paid, and in others, contractors or people that have, you know, multiple part-time jobs. But, you know, one of the things I love about it is it creates a new option. We typically think of people either as employees or as independent contractors in the gig economy. And Holacracy gives me something that's a beautiful blend of what I think of as the best of both of those. It invites people to show up more like a business partner where, yes, there's still autonomy. You can have I have a business partner that has other things on his plate, those other businesses, right? You have the independence of a contractor, but you have the commitment of an employee. You have the sense of, I'm in, this is my business and I'm building it. And, you know, at the very least brings in that kind of culture for the people that are in. It invites them to take on a lot more ownership or stewardship of the business than you'd typically see with a contractor, while retaining a lot more autonomy and leadership that you'd, you know, typically don't see with many employees, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that middle ground. And some companies have even gone so far as make that a legal reality. In my company, for example, we've baked Holacracy into our legal bylaws, and we use an LLC structure where we legally have no employees. We have all K-1 business partners, much more like a law firm would. Now, that's not every company does that, and that's fine, but it gives you this third option of building a firm more like a partnership than either an employment or a pure gig economy workforce.
Now, how quickly, if somebody said, okay, this is something we want to pursue, how long does it take to kind of implement and roll it out?
Yeah, there are many answers to that. So one is, you know, how long does it take to get it to a point where it's it's got some ROI for you. It's sustainable. It's, you know, you're starting to generate more than it's costing you in distraction and investment and all that. And, you know, that's very roughly 6 months, plus or minus. Some teams get there in 2 months, some teams take 12. But general sense is for any given team, from the moment that team really starts committing to the journey, like really goes all in with it, to the point where they hit kind of a nice, smooth point where they can say, this is generating clearly more returns than it costs, roughly 6 months. But if you're asking how long to get fully to where Holacracy, you know, kind of can take us, where you really have this decentralized, distributed authority system with nothing that looks like managers left, and people have mastered it, well, how long does it take to be a masterful manager in a management hierarchy, right? It's at least that long. It's a 10-year journey, at least a 5-year journey. You know, this is a long-term, massive cultural change. And you get ROI way before that when you're still along the route, but this isn't a quick fix. This is a massive, disruptive overhaul to the way power works in your business. You can get to a point where it's worth it quickly, but beyond that, this is a setting your company up for the next decade, not the next year.
Now, what's been the most rewarding part for you so far in this journey?
Oh, man. You know, I think it's seeing the personal transformations that happen. Seeing, you know, one of our clients, a founder of a company, said he hadn't been able to take a vacation in 7 years in starting his business. And after Holacracy, he got a 2-week off-the-grid hike in the mountains. And he felt comfortable doing that because he knew that others in the business were taking on the level of ownership he needed to be able to let go. And the clarity was there for him. Or I heard from one woman who came up to me and said after 4 months of doing Holacracy, she finally got what her therapist has been trying to get her to understand over the past 2 years. And it's because of the level of empowerment she got and the whole system tend to help people really own their own autonomy and leadership and not be kind of codependent with others. And she applied those learnings to her personal relationship and had all these aha moments that changed her relationship with her fiance. And, you know, I see so many stories like that of personal transformations, and this changes people. It's not just about changing our businesses. It's changing how we relate to power, starting with our own and then with others. And the rewards of seeing that kind of impact on people and seeing the cultures that it creates and the heart-centric cultures that can come about when people take on the level of personal responsibility in connection that this brings is really, I can't get enough of that.
Now, does this work better in certain industries, like you mentioned technology and nonprofits, or do you think it can work in any organization?
So what we've seen again and again is a hugely wide array. We've seen for-profit, nonprofit, government agencies even, retail, banking, high-tech, manufacturing, service, I mean, you name it. What the common thread seems to be are the leaders who bring it in. The leader at the top who adopts this, they tend to have a lot of focus on their own personal growth and development. They're not afraid to going back to learning a new way to lead. They have a lot of self-awareness. That seems to be the common thread, not the industry or type of company.
And if somebody wanted to learn more, you mentioned your book, Holacracy, the New Management System for a Rapidly Changing World. Is that kind of a good beginning?
It's a good beginning, and the website has tons of little videos. You can hear from people in their own words. There's lots on the website, holacracy.org. And it's spelled H-O-L-A. People often misspell it with two O's, but it's not. It's holacracy.org.
Good stuff, Brian Robertson. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. You're doing such important work and really making a big impact. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.